Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Beach and Company. It's 10:08 here in the studios of WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy. Of course, it's Joe Beamer and Tony Caligiuri. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in. Glad we could get you out of bed, Joe. I have no idea, really, if you've paid attention to the news. Not you, Joe. Everybody. Not just you, but including you. When I left the air here the other day, the day before you went on the air, I think, Joe, it was Monday, it was reported that something very interesting had happened.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
That you might think that's Val Kilmer in Tombstone as Doc Holliday, but it's not. It is U.S. Attorney John Durham playing Val Kilmer, playing Doc Holliday. You may have heard that U.S. Attorney John Durham, that longtime lawman from Connecticut, was tapped to investigate the origins of the Russia investigation. And this guy is no stranger to this kind of thing. He cleaned out, put a bunch of FBI agents in jail for cooperating with the mafia. The mafia tried to ruin his reputation. His own FBI agents tried to ruin his reputation. And it didn't bother him at all. At all, he put them all away. Reform the entire office up there, the entire FBI and prosecutor's office. And that's who Attorney General William Barr appointed to look into the Russia hoax. How did it start? What inspired this politically commissioned investigation? What was Hillary's involvement? What was, by the way, President Barack Obama's involvement? You don't have to look any further than CNN, which tweeted yesterday. Marshall Cohen from CNN wrote a story and said that John Durham, who has an apolitical reputation, puts his reputation at risk by stepping into this investigation. That's CNN's way of saying, in code, we're going to tear you to bits, Mr. Durham, because they're going to try to destroy his reputation. They tried to destroy William Barr. I don't know if you heard what William Barr said. They were at an event yesterday. The President Trump, William Barr, even Nancy Pelosi was at some event yesterday. And, it's a military event or something. And there was, of course, as many of the cabinet will come as possible. You know, Nancy as a speaker has a place on the dais. And he walked up, William Barr walked up, shook her hand, and he said, "Did you bring your handcuffs?" Just like a big grin on his face because, you know, Nancy Pelosi wants to vote to declare him in contempt of Congress. And he's like, "Did you bring your handcuffs, Nance?" I just love this guy's sense of humor. This Democrat overreach and hand-wringing is something that doesn't bother him at all. I can tell you, this guy, Durham, has an even harder charging reputation and absolutely clear as a bell that he is apolitical. And no matter what CNN does, they're not going to be able to take him. If the mafia can't take him down, if dirty cops can't take him down, do you think these simple-minded bachelor's, liberal arts degrees are going to take him down? That's not going to happen.
Well, they'll convince their five viewers.
Right.
Not exactly like they're a ratings monster out there. Now, I don't know if it was Rusher or Hannity yesterday that said that there's talk that this investigation has been going on for a couple of weeks already.
Yeah, it has. It has. And they've confirmed that Durham was actually appointed a couple of weeks ago and has been hard at work. You remember 2-3 weeks ago when Barr said at a hearing that he's assembling a team to look at this. It was Durham all along. It was Durham all along. There are some people on the right who think that Durham is too close to Mueller because they work together and that, you know, he's not the right guy to do this. But, you know, he was appointed as U.S. attorney for Connecticut in 2018 by President Trump. But he'd been tasked multiple times with investigating a misconduct by national security and law enforcement officials. And these people are scared. They're really scared. I can tell you that. I know that for a fact. They're scared. I'm not only because what I'm seeing in Washington when I go there, what I hear from friends of mine who are talking, my friends in the administration, they're scared. They're absolutely frightened. And when leftists get scared, they get crazy. And right now on social media, they're out there screaming that there was Russian collusion and actually claiming that the Mueller report confirms that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take one thing away from the show today, I want to tell you that if somebody that you know still believes that there was Russian collusion, somebody tells you that Trump worked with the Russians to win the election, that person is crazy. They're crazy. There is a way to separate the, you know, true believer Democrats who were following the talking points, even when the talking points are bad, you know, and separate them from the people who are just crazy. And anybody who tells you that there was Russian collusion and that the Mueller report actually documents that, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
It's funny that you mention that because I have noticed recently more and more insane posts by people who I know who are liberal bent. They're going after other people for no reason whatsoever. You could post that I just had a chicken sandwich and they're going to go into a political spin or whatnot. And they do come across as crazy right now.
They do. And I think, you know, it's logical for all of us to understand that these nut jobs who still believe that there was some kind of Russian collusion are, you know, they're the further we go along into this investigation of the investigators, you know, I think we're going to find out that CIA Director Brennan is in trouble. I'm absolutely certain that James Comey is in trouble. There's going to be leak accusations. There's going to be improper manipulation. There's going to be classified material. There's going to be felonies accused here.
I made this prediction to Sandy that once the investigation started and questions are being asked, you're going to see people turn quickly. They're going to try to save their own bacon, and they're going to have a lot. There are people going to have a lot to say.
It's already started.
We're seeing Brennan and Comey dispute.
Right. Brennan accusing Comey of something that Brennan was accused of. Here's the thing. First of all, identify the crazy people in your life. Understand that anyone who believes that still believes this hoax of Russian collusion, they're nuts. Try whatever you can to make sure that you don't turn your back on that person because you don't know what they're going to do. All right. Secondly, however, there is nothing. Everybody in politics has this special skill of being able to throw their allies under the bus. That's a specialty in Washington. It's a skill you must come already prepared to execute on when you get there. If you don't know how to throw somebody under the bus, you're not going to last very long in Washington because people advance their careers in Washington by standing on the bodies of their friends. Right now, Brennan just threw Comey under the bus. We're going to see more and more of this because Comey, who can't resist it, will now throw Brennan under the bus. While Washington is particularly good at throwing each other under the bus, the best at it are the liberal leftists. Though in history, they will turn on each other in a minute. In Washington, first of all, if you want loyalty, buy a dog. There's nobody loyal to anybody there. But at least the Republicans aren't so incredibly good at sticking a knife in each other's back. We're not so good at that. We still do it, but the Democrats.
Unless you're Mitt Romney.
Yeah, right. Well, he's not really a Republican anyway, but it's going to be amazing to watch this. And Wyatt Earp is in there in the form of John Durham, watch this very carefully. The guy's – his biggest and most high-profile case was in 99, and we'll talk about that after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Our text board is 30930. Our telephone line for callers is 803-0930. That's *930 on your cell phone. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. It is 10:23 on a beautiful Thursday morning here in Western New York, Southern Ontario, and Northern Pennsylvania. Some texters are already on top of this thing. Michael, it's great watching Baker, Comey, and Brennan turning on each other. You're so right. They are scared, and it's absolutely clear that they're scared. No doubt in my mind that they're frightened. But if you look at this thing, they're ready for this. They're absolutely ready for this. Because for the first time in the history of our country, not only did the White House weaponize the national security apparatus of the nation in order to spy on the Republican candidate for president, which is the biggest scandal ever, certainly in the American presidency. Biggest ever. Not only did these people do it, after they did it, they got out of the, they retired directly after Obama and became commentators in the media. Clapper, Brennan, the rest of these folks, Comey's assistant is now on CNN. Each one of them, one after the other, started talking out on television. In fact, some of them signed contracts and now work, like Clapper, I believe, and others, as analysts for CNN. Now, these are the same people who, for a time, were leaking. Undoubtedly, one or the other of them was certainly leaking. And now they're out there, installed in important places to basically, what appears to me, to defend this cabal of people who created this hoax. I mean, it's never been done before. The head of the CIA never became a commentator on a television network. Never happened. Once in a while, they'll take an interview, but they're circumspect in their answers. Brennan flat out calls Donald Trump a Putin asset. Of course, that's completely false. It's been proven false by the Mueller report. But Brennan is out there for a reason. He's now in a position to defend himself like no previous CIA director. By going into the media, they're going to try to control the narrative. Now, it's one thing to be able to ask the media, like Marshall Cohen, who in a tweet and in a story on CNN.com basically threatened to destroy John Durham's reputation. I mean, it's very clear that CNN is going to shoot for him. But they also have the former intelligence and law enforcement officials on their payroll. Who are directly involved in this thing. Absolutely. A texter says, do any of you guys read the Palmer Report? I don't read the Palmer Report. I've seen the Palmer Report quoted on social media by leftists that I don't respect. And any organization that prints stories that some of these bat guano crazy lefties will quote, I'm not going to read it. I'll never click on BuzzHead or whatever, BuzzFeed. I'll never click on that. I've never once clicked on BuzzFeed, not since 2014. I mean, if you go to platforms that put out fake news, who lie for a living, every time you click on it, you give them support.
Oh, CNN.
Yeah, right, there you go. Well, you can click on CNN when you're looking at the video that I'm on. But you know what? I haven't been on CNN in quite some time. I was supposed to be on last night. They canceled because they booked an elected official instead of me. Happens a lot. But when you're booked, like the night before I was on Tucker Carlson, when you're booked on Tucker Carlson, you know, Trish Regan, even on Ari Melber at MSNBC, you go on. But but CNN, they're still moving the molecules at the last minute. I think it's been, because as soon as I met with the president, like 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, when my family and I went into the Oval Office to meet with the president and the first lady, I took myself off television because I didn't think it was appropriate for me to go on TV and talk about my meeting with the president. I talked about it in the print media. I talked about it in radio and podcasts. But, you know, TV is the coin of the realm, and I just stayed out. So I took myself off TV. And Monday night on Trish Regan on Fox Business was my first time back on television in a long time. And I'll go back into the swing of things and everything, but you have to understand what is about to happen. You have to pay attention to this, because in the 1970s, it was reported by the New York Times, Seymour Hersh, and others, some terrible, terrible activities by the United States National Security Apparatus, FBI, CIA. FBI was opening people's mail and lying about it. The CIA was killing foreign presidents and lying about it. The National Security Agency, when it first came—that was when it was first founded—and we didn't even know what the name of the agency was. They were spying on Americans, telephone calls. All of those organizations were reformed in the 70s by three different commissions. One of them is called the Church Committee in the Senate, the Pike Committee in the House, and the Eisenhower Commission out of the White House. And those three organizations looked very closely at all the alphabet soup agencies, CIA, FBI, NSA, and the IRS. And after it took them 17 months to conclude their investigations, hundreds of CIA agents were fired. Hundreds of them. It was absolute fundamental reform. And watching that through the perspective and the prism of history, check it out. The Church Committee. That's what's about to happen. It's not going to be subtle, folks. Johnny Ringo is really, really scared. We'll be right back after these messages. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach, who's off on a West Coast cruise. It's 10:38 on a lovely Thursday morning. I hope you're out, got the radio going, and you're doing your gardening. Or maybe you're at work, got your headphones on. If so, this is for you. Dark Star Orchestra's coming. Did you see that? I'm trying to get my buddy Chuck to go with me. One thing that happened also while I was gone, or happened while I was announced while I was gone, is that Pancho Villa died after a long battle with cancer. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of our organization, the Bills Fan Thunder. He was very involved in making sure that we're able to take 20 at-risk youth to every regular season home game. Pancho was a great guy. Was a great guy. There's no half step toward it. He was a great person. And, you know, wasn't a Buffalonian. One of the biggest Buffalo Bills fans. It's so sad to see him taken way too early. His very dear friend, who is vice chairman of the Dallas Bills Backers Club, sent me a note and said, listen, it's unfair for sure, but it's God's will. And I'm a believer in God. I'm a devout Catholic. I attend Mass. I pray. But I can't understand how we lose people like Pancho Villa. Ezra Castro is his name, was his name. We're going to do something with Bills Fan Thunder to try to honor Pancho. I don't know what we're going to do, but that was a sad loss. What a great guy. And it was so cool that the Buffalo Bills, you know, embraced him as robustly as he embraced them. It's really, really sad. Rest in peace, Pancho Villa. 803-0930, *930 on your cell phone. 30930 is our text board. Pete in Ontario, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Caputo, listen. We discussed this about a year ago, and I want to ask you the question again. We think of Samantha Powers, 250 unmaskings. She doesn't know. Loretta Lynch, Uma Abedin. I want Jeff Sessions put in front of a grand jury and asked who got to him. I wonder about Christopher Wray and what he's all about. My question to you is this. I still, to this day, do not think it'll rise high. I mean, we may see a James Comey indicted or that, in and around that sort of thing, but I don't think anybody's got the balls to go too high in the Obama administration. Therefore, I don't think that America will ever recover from this. And I'm telling you right now, Mr. Caputo, I want to see an indictment. I don't care whose resume is what. I ain't seen no indictments. Don't think that people like all the great investigator reporters that came out on this, John Solomon, Sarah Carter, these are Pulitzer Prize winning people that were thrown under the bus by the Trump administration, okay? Where is all the buckets of stuff to be declassified? I don't see it. My point is nothing has happened. Nobody's been held to account, all right? Till I see one, I will see it if I believe it. Do you think they're all about to fall now?
Well, I this is interesting. Tucker Carlson asked me the same question when I was on Tuesday night from Miami. And I said, listen, just imagine, six, seven months ago, we were all told by the president in a tweet that he wanted the FISA declassified. He was going to do it soon. He wanted the emails and text messages between all the conspiracy or all the conspirers at the FBI. And we never saw it. And then we heard Senator Lindsey Graham, I'm going for the FISAs. I'm going for the D-class. We're going to look at this. And then they appoint John Durham, and Lindsey backs off. So when Tucker asked me why wouldn't the president declassify documents if they show that there was malfeasance and perhaps illegal activity in, for example, the surveillance of Roger Stone. And I told him, and I'll tell you, Pete, I'm confused by this. I don't know what to think of it. I've been waiting every single day to see some declassified materials, and we're not getting it. And I don't know why we're not getting it. But at the same time, Pete, like I told Tucker, I'm still convinced the president has a plan. I'm still convinced he does. I trust him on this. When our family went to the Oval Office to sit with him, it became, you know, we had a conversation. I won't disclose the details because I'd like to have more of these conversations. You know, the president doesn't like you chattering about what you talked about. I am absolutely convinced he's got a plan. And I don't think anybody, Brennan, Comey, Clapper, the rest of them, you know, Susan Rice, Pete, you know, all these, I think they all need to be really worried. Really worried. I don't think we're ever going to see anyone get to Obama. But anyone who thinks that President Obama was not completely and deeply involved in this on a regular basis, you're smoking something. Here's another thing I'm going to postulate, Pete. What do you think the former president's role in the post-inauguration coordination of the Russia hoax? What do you think his involvement has been? I mean, he is living in Washington. He is quietly, mostly, pursuing some agenda. We don't know what it is. But the people who were behind this Russia hoax were more Obama types than they were Clinton types. So Is there? We may find out. History may prove, Pete, that there was a weekly conference call coordinating this. Sounds crazy. And just like this Russia hoax, some of the things that you and I believe we're going to find out are false when John Durham's investigation is over. But some of the stuff we're thinking is true. And is that enough to get to Barack Obama? I think you'll see people like Susan Rice fall on a grenade for that man.
You know what? Look, you got to think of this too. We've got federal. I've looked deeply into this. Read very strongly about it. You've got 5-year statute on most of this stuff. You've got 10-year statutes on stuff that obviously you know international when it comes to weapons and such. So the uranium one. There's 10-year statutes on that. But these people are going to run these statutes out. How about a fake to put this guy Durham in? Okay, now we're going to get to the bottom of this. 2 more years, you're going to start losing these statutes. I'm going to tell you one thing. If Mr. Trump thinks he's going to go into 2020 without this stuff being exposed, he's going to lose 25%, at least 25 to 35% of the loyal men and women that followed him to the end. What, have we even seen a piece of wall being put up? We sure heard about it. I've seen a few metal structures, but we ain't seen it. I don't know if this is going to be solved. But if it's not, America, as the greatest nation in the world, will take second stage very shortly to some other nation.
I think we're on our way now. We're well on our way to taking second place. Listen, Pete, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
I'll go. What's that, Pete? I'll be right back. Take your calls if you're on the board. 803-0930, *930 on your cell phone. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. It's 1046 here at WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on Beach & Company, WBEN. It is 1053. And let me see. 803-0930 is our telephone. *930 on your cell phone. Our text board, 30930. Texter says, Pete in Ontario makes a good point about Trump supporters losing the faith, so to speak. This may be reflected in the Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan polls. I have repeatedly asked you about them and what we can do about it. Yeah. This texter has been texting in about this recent Quinnipiac poll. I need people to understand, I need this texter to understand, that Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania were skin tight all the way up until Election Day. Now, the Quinnipiac, which is, by the way, an organization that runs what I consider to be a pretty unreliable poll, has found that Biden is far ahead. We don't know that Biden's going to be in the race, even by Iowa, the first primary, the caucuses in Iowa. We don't know if he's going to make it there. There's so much going down with him and his son and China and Ukraine and, you know, he's getting shot at from below.
He has a lot of explaining to do.
He does. You know, all the grabby and touchy stuff he does. I think that's all crap. But, you know, he does have a lot of explaining to do. Not necessarily why he's sniffing women's hair. I mean, I think that's just silly. But you know, he's being shot at by the people below him. The Republicans don't have to destroy him. The Democrats are going to destroy him. And what makes that particularly difficult is that it's the same people who are calling and threatening my family, who are, you know, Facebooking and threatening my family. You know, it's the same people who do the craziest stuff and have done crazy stuff all the way through this Russia hoax. They're the same ones who believe that the Russia hoax is still true, even though they've been told it wasn't. They're nuts, and they are destructive. And they're going to go after Joe Biden. So they are unleashing the mentally ill, the sickest people on Joe Biden. I don't know that he'll make it to the primaries and caucuses. I don't know that he will. He's ahead 11 points, if you believe Quinnipiac, in Pennsylvania because he's from Pennsylvania. And Joe Biden represents a threat in, you know, flyover country to Donald Trump. I mean, he appeals in a different way to the lunch bucket crowd. I mean, he always has. He's prided himself since he first entered politics that he represents the working man. You know, whether you believe that or not, it's been his spin for decades. But he's ahead 11 points in Pennsylvania. I think that's going to be his high watermark. head-to-head with Donald Trump. That's his high watermark in Pennsylvania. But if we don't win Pennsylvania, we got a problem. I believe the president's going to Pennsylvania on Monday. And you're going to see the president in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan constantly. He doesn't definitely have to win them, all three, to win the presidency, but he better. He better. It was skin tight in all three of them. And the difference, I mean, if the idea that he won Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania was a shocker. And that's, you know, the fact that Hillary Clinton took those three states for granted, especially Wisconsin and Michigan, is why she lost. The next nominee is not going to do that. Not at all. They're going to pay very, very close attention to it. So the poll, this Quinnipiac poll shows that Trump is in trouble in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, especially if Joe Biden is in this race. And
Did they see the rally that Trump had in Michigan?
I know, and Joe Biden's crowds are not all that big. You know, it's true. We also know that the polls were dead wrong in 2016. I don't think these pollsters, especially Quinnipiac, they have not adjusted their model because their polling model, the science behind the selection of the people who they're going to poll, right? But Quinnipiac doesn't have a personal or professional interest in actually displaying factual numbers. They put their polls out, I believe, as liberals in a way to impact the vote, not necessarily to measure the vote, but to impact it. Right now, they're hoping that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and their numbers there encourage Joe Biden, keep him moving. It probably does. But don't believe the polls. Don't believe them at all. But definitely, we need to take a warning from Quinnipiac on Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. We don't win them. We lose one of those. We may still win. We lose three of those, we're not going to win. That's a fact.
Are there any states that went against Trump in 16 that could turn around and go for him this time around?
I don't know. That's a good question. It was such a blowout in the Electoral College that there's got to be a tit-for-tat, a swap we can make with some of these states who... But here's the thing. It's just... so far away right now, so far away that it's hard to say whether any of this really matters. But the fact is, watch where the president's going. Where is he having his rallies? Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. He's paying attention. There's no question. 803-0930 is our phone line. Please call in. Or it's a *930 on your cell phone. We got some people on the board right now. I am definitely going to get to you. I promise you. After this commercial break, Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. Don't forget, Sandy's back next week. I'll be back with you tomorrow as well. And we're going to have a lot of fun for the rest of the day. Where do you think this thing is leading? Where do you think it's leading? The investigation, the 22.5 Democratic candidates. Where do you think it's going to go? And do you think this John Durham investigation of the Russia hoax is going to have an impact on the election? We'll be right back after these messages.
But first, your 11 a.m. cash code is PEOPLE. People are people. P-E-O-P-L-E. Text that to 72881. You could win $1,000.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.